Father, we thank you, Lord, this morning because you are good and your faithfulness and your mercy endures forever. You are the true and faithful witness. What you said you will do, that's exactly what you will do. We commit all our brethren into your hands today, those that are a little under the weather, several of them this morning. We thank you because we know that you are the great and mighty God. You are the healer. Hallelujah. And you always healed all that needed healing. And today, for everyone that needs healing, we ask that the healing power of the Lord would touch them. In Jesus' name. Thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph. Thanks be unto God who has delivered us from so great a death. And who doth deliver. And he will yet deliver us. Lord, we give you all the praise. And give you all the glory this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. And somebody said amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Thank you. Praise team. Hallelujah. Good morning, everyone, and praise the Lord. Welcome to our Sunday service here. We're coming to you live from beautiful Phoenix, Arizona. And this is GMI Church. God bless everyone this morning. How you all doing? You all doing good? How's everybody doing this morning? Come on, talk back to me. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, so let's get right into it. Lift up your heads where you are. Wave your hands to the one you love the best. Hallelujah. He is the Lord, isn't he? Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we love you this morning. All your people love you. We wave our hands to show that we love you, Lord. We love you. We wave our hands to you, Lord. Hallelujah. We're down here, Lord. Remember us for good in Jesus' name. Lord, we lift up your name this morning, Lord. We thank you. And as always, Lord, the entrance of your word brings light. Let that light shine in our hearts this morning to give revelation knowledge of the glory of our Lord God Almighty in the face of Jesus Christ. We give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, we talked about multiple things crossing from last year through this year and on. And during the review, you know, there was a good review of some of the things we talked about last Sunday. You know, by the grace of God, I will be expanding on some of the topics that we brought out in the new year message as we go through the year. You know, one important one I will be discussing today, and today's topic is providence and destiny. Hallelujah. You know, I noticed during the review, we didn't go too much into that, and I said, well, that's fine, because I'm going to be covering that today anyway. So I'm going to be covering providence. We touched about on this last Sunday, you know, but I want to go into a message on it today to, you know, help us understand what the Lord is saying. Now, as always, he that hath an ear, let him do what? Let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Now, destiny is something that will occur. That's destiny. It is preordained by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. Acts chapter 2. If you can put up Acts chapter 2, verse 23 for me quickly. We'll go through these scriptures very quickly this morning. You know, on the day of Pentecost, Peter preaching and all that, part of his message, he said, look, Christ being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. Ye have taken him by wicked hands and crucified and slain him. So, the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God is what puts destiny in place. Now, so that's the definition of destiny. It is something that God has already predetermined and it will occur. Hallelujah. Now, let me talk about some, you know, the destiny. There are different parts, different kinds of destinies. You know, there are significant and major destinies that are aligned directly with God's eternal purpose. And there's also, you know, minor destinies along the journey of life. You know, one major destiny for the children of God is found in Romans chapter 8 and verse 29. If you could put that up, let's look at it. Romans chapter 8, verse 29. It says, for whom he did foreknow. Remember, the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God is what sets destiny in place. So for whom he did foreknow, that's his foreknowledge. He also did predestinate, that's his predetermined counsel, that we will be conformed to the image of his son, so that Christ might be the firstborn among many brethren. Praise the Lord. This is one of the major destinies in the Bible. This will happen. Nothing can change it. You know, that children of God will come into the fullness of the image of the Christ. That's God has already foreordained that, and he has also marked those that will be part of that process. So that is going to occur. There are other destinies, you know, along the way in the journey of life. We're going to be talking about some of them today. Providence, on the other hand, remember the message is providence and destiny. Providence, on the other hand, is sometimes referred to, some people call it divine providence. Well, I don't know if there's any other providence other than divine providence. So I just call it providence for short. Some people call it divine providence. Well, providence, you know, is the continuous act of God to protect, to guard, and to make provision to ensure that what he has preordained will come to pass. Now, so destiny is what God preordained to occur. Providence is his continuous act to guide, protect, and make provision to ensure that that thing will happen. So that's the difference between the two. Now, let me see if I can get some understanding on that. Is that difference clear? Do we understand that? Huh? Somebody say no or yes. Destiny is what is going to occur according to the predetermined counsel of God. But providence is the continuous act of God whereby he protects, he guards, and makes provision for that thing which he preordained to occur. So his continuous act to make sure that occurs, that's providence. Now, so let's look at some things in the Bible. From God's perspective, Jeremiah 29:11, which we also referred to last Sunday, he says, look, I know the thoughts that I have towards you. Can you put that up, please, 29:11? I know the thoughts that I think toward you, said the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil. So those are good things. But the providence part is, you know, God is going to give you an expected end from his own perspective. That's the destiny. But his providence is going to guide you through all of that to come to that expected end. Now, whether it is a major destiny or a minor destiny, providence of God will guide to make sure it comes to pass. Now, let's look at some examples in the Bible, just so we understand this. You know, I want to bring out some examples in the Bible. Now, let me focus, first of all, on destiny. Destiny. There are some other major destinies in the Bible. You know, I gave, you know, the one in Romans 8:29. That's an ultimate destiny. You know, one is also revealed in Genesis 3 and 15. You know, something was going to occur right from the beginning that God talked about. If you know, he says, look, I will put enmity between thee and the woman. So that's going to happen. And between thy seed and her seed, so that's going to happen. And it shall bruise thy head, so that's going to happen. And thou shalt bruise his heel, so that's going to happen. You know, so this thing was prophesied, actually, as far as God is concerned, it's not even prophecy. He just declared it. Because God declares the end from the beginning. You know, so he declared it. It's not a matter for God, it's not a matter of prophecy. He just says it. That's just what it is, and that's it's going to be, you know. So, God declaring the end from the beginning, you can see that in the book of, let's turn to Isaiah chapter 46. Let's look at verse 10 real quickly. It says, God is the one that declares the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done. It's not yet done in our realm, but God, as far as he's concerned, he's already declared them. And he said, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Hallelujah. Now, his counsel standing and doing all of his pleasure is part of his providence. You know, he will, you know, he already said, my pleasure is to give you an expected end. My pleasure at, you know, the things I'm thinking about you are for good and for peace and not for evil. And all these things, you know, so this is how God works. Now, let me put this out. And I said this last time as well. Just because you are not planning for it doesn't mean it's not your destiny. Say that again. I'm going to bring some stories from the Bible. Just because you are not planning or did not plan for it, or you may not even know it, doesn't mean it's not your God-ordained destiny. Now, we talked about last Sunday, we talked about some of the things that we're going to call for. We understand that. But I'm talking about some things also now that God, these are things that are in God's hands. You know, it's so amazing how providence and destiny work together. I want to make sure we understand this. So, let me give you examples in the Bible. There are many stories in the Bible of incredible destiny stories, which they probably didn't even plan for. You know, but, and like I said, just because you are not planning for it, just because you didn't plan for it, it doesn't make it to be any less your destiny if God says so. How many of you can say amen? Okay, let me give you some stories in the Bible. Now, Moses, you all may know the story of Moses. Moses was a man of destiny. But when he was born, because the children of Israel began to be multiplied in the land, and a new Pharaoh that didn't like or know even Joseph had come up and he said, look, these people are getting so many now, they may even join with our enemies, and they are going to become a problem for us. So let's kill all the male children. The girls, those won't cause us any problems. The girls cannot multiply. But the men, you know, who can cause this, you know, tribe to grow even more. Let's kill them all. You know, so. Now, Moses was born at such a time as this was going on. And the commandment from Pharaoh to the midwives was, kill all the male children and save only the girls, the baby girls, alive. Of course, they didn't really do that. You know, God's favor was upon some of the children, and the midwives didn't do that. You know, they actually didn't obey that commandment, and God favored them because they didn't obey the commandment. But the king was wrath. You know, so he made a decree and said, look, go through the land. Every child, male, that is born must be cast into the Nile River or whatever and destroyed. You know, so. But Moses, he was a man of destiny. And we talked about destiny helpers. And I'm going to bring out some examples of destiny helpers in these stories that I will be calling for today. The destiny helpers in the life of Moses. Now, Moses was going to be a deliverer for the people of God. When he was born, he didn't know it. You know. And even his mother didn't know it. But they said, well, this is a goodly child. You know. So, his mother and his sister Miriam, they were destiny helpers. You know, they colluded together to, you know, not destroy the child. Well, cast the child into the river. Well, they sort of did, but they didn't just cast the child into the river like that. They built a little thing, basket, casket, and so forth for the child, and made sure he will be safe. And the sister was watching and watching. Now, here comes Pharaoh's daughter, who is also another destiny helper. Pharaoh's daughter comes to take her daily swim or whatever in the river, and she sees the basket. Moses' sister is hiding in the bush, and she says, fetch me that basket. And the sister comes out and says, hey, you know, what do you have there? Say, oh, you know, let me get you one of the Hebrew women to nurse the child. Hallelujah. So the sister went and calls the real mother for the child. Now, you can see how destiny is working. That this woman who came to bathe herself did not have a child. You know, and so she said, ah, this is going to be my child. And the destiny helpers that God put in place, even his sister, God gave her the wisdom to say, I'm going to go call one of the women. You didn't say the mother. Oh, let me call you one of the women to be the nurse. And so, you know, that plan was working. And the Moses' mother was actually hired to begin to take care of Moses. You know, and so God, so the Pharaoh's daughter brought Moses into the palace, trained him in everything and so on and so forth, in the art of war and all these things. A destiny helper. Now, of course, when Moses began to grow older, he saw all the injustice for his people. He didn't like it. He took the law into his hands. You know the story. He killed one of the Egyptians that was oppressing the Jews. And the story went out the next day when he was trying to divide between the Jews. He ran for his life. Okay. And as the story went, other destiny helpers will come along his way. Jethro, who became his father-in-law, was another one. Now, this whole time, Moses didn't know, you know, he just, you know, just some anger grew up in him. He really didn't know what God was going to have him do. And God put Jethro in his life. And this Jethro was actually going to be one of the people, as a destiny helper, would actually eventually even give counsel to Moses on how to handle things so he wouldn't kill himself and keep and wear out all the people. Now, let me leave the story of Moses there, like that. Let me talk about some other stories in the Bible. Now, David. You know, when I tell these stories from the Bible, I always like to go to David. Now, David was a man that had a destiny. He didn't know it, you know. And when he was a young man keeping his father's sheep, God sent Samuel to go and call, I mean, anoint one of the sons of Jesse. You know the story. David wasn't even called, you know, initially. But finally, when he came, he was the one that was appointed. Now, when David was appointed, you know, and anointed to be king, but he wasn't even to get into the on the throne for many years later. And, you know, there were a lot of things that happened to him between. You know, David was, he became a man of war, you know, and his fame rose because of the act that he performed against Goliath. And when Saul saw his mighty acts, Saul tried to constrict him, draft him into his own army, you know, and so forth, you know. So, you know all the story, and, you know, when people began to sing more of David's prowess than Saul, Saul became envious of him and tried to kill him and pursued, tried to kill him all his life, you know. And God, you know, there was one thing that David didn't know. Now, David didn't plan to be king. He wasn't even planning to it, you know. He wasn't even called when they initially called the sons of Jesse to the coronation, you know. But one thing he knew after he was crowned, I mean, not crowned, after he was anointed by Samuel the prophet, one thing he knew was that he was going to be king. So, but there's a lot of things that he didn't know along the way. He didn't know how terrible that journey was going to be to get there. And that even the current king was going to try to kill him and so on. But God will also raise destiny helpers along the way. Hallelujah. One of them was Jonathan. Now, this was a favorable destiny helper. Jonathan was a son of Saul, and his soul was knit with David, and he would do everything in his power to make sure his father did not succeed in killing David. Hallelujah. But there was some destiny that David did not even know about. Even all that whole time until the Lord told him. See, he didn't know it. He didn't know that God was going to choose his throne for the Lord to sit upon. Hallelujah. And that's something, there is no way that he could have planned for that. You know, I mean, even when he was trying to be a king in the natural realm, he didn't know that God was setting him up to be something even more tremendous. And God called it the sure mercies of David. There's no way he could have planned for that. But because he didn't know or didn't plan, did not make it any less his destiny. Now, there's a story of so many other stories in the Bible. There's a story of Esther. Esther was a slave girl. You know, she didn't plan and didn't know that she was going to become queen. But she was a slave. But this, her story is so beautiful and so interesting. You know, and God had a plan. God had a plan. This woman was going to save all the Jews at that time. So her destiny was very critical to the survival of the nation of the Jews at that time. But she didn't know it initially. You know, and even when her uncle Mordecai, you know, encouraging her to get into the beauty contest and all of these things and so on and so forth, and telling her to keep it to yourself for now and all that, you know, they didn't really know all that was ahead. Now, I will tell you in that story, and I preached this many years ago, maybe 2010 was actually when I preached it, the first message of the year in 2010, I think, called Table in the Presence of Your Enemies. And I've referred to it time and time again. Haman was somebody that was promoted by the king, and he determined that he was going to destroy Mordecai because everybody else was doing obeisance unto him, but not Mordecai. Mordecai being a Jew, he said, I'm not going to bow to you. I'll only bow to God. So this man was furious, and he tried everything and so forth. Now, as wicked as Haman was, building gallows and everything and so on and so forth that he did, he was actually a destiny helper for the Jews. He didn't know it, but he was. In fact, the very gallows that he built actually became the place where he and his sons were hung by the Jews. And the plan that he was trying to do, the day that he would, God would turn everything around, you know, God made it so that the king could not sleep. Now, some destiny helpers are also angelic. The angel of the Lord troubled the king that night. He couldn't sleep. God took his sleep from him. And so he said, look, well, I got to do something now. Bring me all the chronicles. Bring me the books. Bring me this and let me read some things. Meanwhile, Mordecai had saved the king once or twice from some of his coup that some of his chamberlains were planning. And it was recorded in the book, but nothing was done about it. So when the angel of the Lord troubled him, so he couldn't sleep. So he found that book, and when he was reading it, he got to that place. And when he read it, he said, what? This man actually saved the king of, you know, like this on these occasions. What was done for this man? And he said, nothing. He said, oh, okay. Now, at that very moment, when the king was thinking of doing some good for Mordecai to repay him for having saved the king from the coup that people planned to take the king's life, the king said, who is in the court? It turned out to be Haman. Haman had just come in to try to ask the king that for decrees to go destroy all of the Jews. And when he was there, they said, oh, Haman is in the court. He said, oh, come on in, Haman. And he thinking, you know, that, oh, the king wants to honor him and so on because of what the king said. The king said, look, what shall the king do to the man that the king would like to honor? And so this man, with his own mouth, was a destiny helper to promote Mordecai. With his own mouth, he thinking that he was the one, said all the greatest things. Take off your ring, take off your robe, give him your chariot, do this, do the other thing, and so on. The king said, is that a fact? He said, yes. He said, okay, you go and do that to Mordecai. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord. That's how God will set a table in front of your enemies and make your enemies to serve you from that table. Praise the Lord. Enemies, served it up. Served up the blessing. He was a destiny helper. Actually helped to promote Mordecai. Now, let me talk about Joseph. You know, I mentioned this last week. You know his story. I mean, he's, you know, every evil thing that you can think of happened to him. But all those things were destiny helpers. Joseph was destined to greatness. In fact, God actually showed it to him in a dream. And he would just tell the dream. He would never keep his mouth shut. You know, he would just blow off his mouth and say, hey, I saw this dream. Hey, I saw that dream and so forth. And because of all those things he was saying, you know, maybe himself didn't understand it. Maybe his father didn't understand it. His brothers obviously didn't like it. So, but he said it anyway. And nobody really knew what all those things meant. You know, now, even though he saw those things, he really wasn't planning for it. You know, and if he was planning, obviously it wasn't that way that it happened to him. Brothers, colluded against him, tried to kill him, you know, and so forth, put him into, you know, there was even a destiny helper among one of his brethren. I said, look, let's not kill him. Let's do this, let's do that. There's a destiny helper there. You know, and they said, okay, well, I will sell him into into slavery. They did. And they did all this evil to him. They came and reported to his father that he was killed. And so on and so forth. And the story went from one thing to another. You guys covered it in the review this morning. Went from one thing to another. Even when he got into the house of Potiphar. Potiphar's wife, Lady Potiphar, who was a seductress, was trying to seduce this man, this young man, and he would not agree. So finally she framed him. Got him sent to prison. And all those things, destiny helpers, they were negative and horrible things. Remember a young man of about 17 or so when he was sold into slavery. Away from his brethren, away from his father. The devil telling him that we'll see what will become of all your dreams now. And all these things and so on. But yet, all those negative things that were happening to him, providence was watching over him. Hallelujah. Providence was watching over him and putting destiny helpers in place. Whether they were negative or positive, they were helping to push him towards his destiny. That was providence. Providence that was with Joseph that actually gave him also that gift of interpretation of dreams. That was providence. And he used that gift. And I tell you that Joseph also, there was something in his life too that led to all of that. Joseph was a caring person. Even though they were all in prison, you know, one day he noticed that the butler and the baker, their countenances were down. And Joseph said, "Why look you so sadly today? Why is your countenance down?" You know, and this thing, this singular act that Joseph would ask about their countenance being down, began to move him even closer towards his destiny. Because he asked, because he showed compassion. You know, and that tells us a story here. Never lose the opportunity to be a comforter and to be a son of encourager to somebody. Amen. Amen. Let your Colossians chapter 4 and verse 6 say, let your speech be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how to answer every man. You know, and when he did, of course, how he interpreted and so forth, that interpretation and all of that, eventually, though it took 2 years later, even more than that, before the man that he interpreted well for would even remember him. But nevertheless, at the right time, you know, in one day, and this is, let me tell you something, how providence can change your story at the hour of destiny. Joseph was being moved all along towards his destiny by all these things. But when the appointed time came, hallelujah, in one day, he was promoted from being in prison to vice president of the land. How many of you can say praise the Lord? When the fullness of time came for that destiny to kick in, all the preparations and all the movements and so on and so forth just, you know, culminated in one immediate act. Just like that. And Stephen, when he was preaching that wonderful message in Acts chapter, you can read his stories, chapter 6 and 7, you know, he was talking about, look, when the fullness of time was approaching, or the time of the promise was approaching, there are certain things that God, you know, God knows the time. God knows the seasons. God appoints all these things. And God knows what he is going to bring to pass in the destiny, in your destiny. You may not know it, but when the time of promise is approaching, then God begins to put destiny helpers in place. Hallelujah. He will put destiny helpers in place that will push you towards that destiny, whether you plan for it or not. And so finally, we saw what happened to Joseph. Pharaoh said, "I am Pharaoh, and you are Joseph. And nobody will lift a finger in this land except by you." Hallelujah. In one day, from the slammer to the throne, just like that. You know, destiny. Let me talk to you about a young woman in the Bible. You know, I mean, her life was thrown into disarray. But her destiny was perhaps one of the most critical in the whole Bible. Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14 says, "Therefore shall a virgin conceive." Isaiah 7 and verse 14. You know, "The Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel." This young lady, her name was Mary. She was a chaste woman. Grew up in very religious setting. They followed the way of the Lord. She even had, she was betrothed to somebody, but they didn't even mess around. And she kept herself. The man that she was going to marry also kept himself. You know? And they were like that. until suddenly one day her whole life was thrown upside down. You may never have thought about it that way, but think of it. The angel suddenly comes to Mary and says, "Hail thou Mary, how you doing? You know, you're going to be pregnant." Mary said, "Pregnant? Ah, no. How can I be pregnant? I've not even been with a man." "Don't worry about it. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, that holy thing that shall be born of you shall be called the Son of the Highest." He won't be the son of Joseph. He won't be the son of anybody else. But he's got to be the son of somebody. So he will be called the Son of the Highest. Hallelujah. Her life was thrown into disarray. Because all of a sudden, she's pregnant out of wedlock. Think of it, guys. This young lady who has been so chaste, who has been, you know, living a pious life and everything like that, you know, all of a sudden has to be hiding. Has to be hiding. You know, and not many people understood it. Even her fiancé, I mean, Joseph, the man that she was supposed to marry, you know, in his mind, he's like, "Look, this woman has sinned. So let me just put her away for the shame and everything." And this was something that Mary had to deal with all that time. The Lord, the angel of the Lord, came to Joseph in a dream and said, "Don't put Mary away. She has not sinned." The angel of the Lord explained it to him, and he was like, "Look, just put yourself in that situation. That's a hard saying. Because that was, you talk about trailblazers, that was a trailblazer, if any, and it has never happened after that, that a virgin that didn't know anybody should just miraculously conceive like that. So it was very hard to swallow. Praise the Lord." And Mary herself, you know, she had to hide herself, you know. But God was revealing it to a little here, a little there, line upon line, precept upon precept, revealed it to Joseph, revealed it to her cousin Elizabeth, because as soon as she came to visit the cousin Elizabeth, Holy Ghost came upon Elizabeth herself, who was the mother of John the Baptist, prophesied. You know, so, but it was a difficult life for her during that time, you know, because the stigma of being pregnant without having been married was upon her. She didn't plan for any such thing, but it was her destiny. Hallelujah. And God appointed it so. Now, you know, God can handpick you. Now, it won't be anything quite as dramatic. There's not going to be any other virgin that's going to conceive. Trust me. That's not going to happen again. It won't be anything quite as dramatic. But God can handpick you for anything. And whether you plan for it or not, that doesn't make it any less your destiny if it is what God has ordained. Amen. God will send destiny helpers along the way. Actually, Joseph became a destiny helper for the child Jesus. Because after that Herod knew from the wise men that came from the east and all of that, that a child was born and so forth, and finding out that he would be born in Bethlehem and all that stuff, you know, deciding to kill everybody so that there would be no other king, the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Hallelujah. He said, "Take the young child into Egypt until I bring you word again. For there be those that seek the young child's life to destroy it." Joseph became a destiny helper for the young child Jesus. But he was also a destiny helper for the prophecy of Hosea that said, "Out of Egypt have I called my son." That was a dual prophecy. "Called my son out of Egypt." Well, of course, God called Israel out of Egypt, but also that he might be fulfilled. What was spoken concerning Jesus was a double prophecy. Joseph had to take the young child into Egypt. And he was there for a few years until Herod died. And during that time, we're not told what happened in Egypt. You have to use your imagination. We don't know what happened. You know, but Joseph was a destiny helper. Protecting, you know, can you imagine in the middle of the night, they had to sneak, you know, out of where they were living and travel, I don't know how many miles it was for them, maybe hundreds of miles and so forth, you know, to try to get into Egypt, hazarded their lives to save the young child and protected the young child. And when they came back, he provided a place for the young child to see. He wasn't the father of the child, but he was a destiny helper, helping him along and all so on and so forth. So God will say, there are some destiny helpers that are good. There are some that mean it for evil. But either way, God will use it for good. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. He says, we know that all things work together for good. Hallelujah. To them that love God. Now, and to them who are called according to his purpose. That purpose is his destiny. You know? Now, loving God is a prerequisite to that as well. To them that love God. Now, I've said before and I'll say it again. You know, that's something that is so critical in our hearts. We must love God. And this verse is different from God so loved the world. That's a different kind of relationship there. God loved the world. This is different. This is people who love God. Not people who God loves. You know, people who love God. And Jesus said in John 14 and 23, if you love me and you keep my commandments, my Father will love you and we will come. See, he will chase after you when you love him. You know, this is a differentiated kind of love. But it happens because his love is in our hearts. As we begin to love him, as we begin to obey him, his purpose that he has ordained for us will come to pass. Hallelujah. Nobody can prevent that from happening. Now, the devil will try. Not that he wouldn't try. It's called contradictions against the word of promise. You know, and even contradictions that will try to happen, even whether God reveals it to you or not, the devil will try to frustrate the purpose of God in your life. But sometimes you don't know whether it's frustration, whether it's the devil, or whether God is using it. But one thing you should know is this, from this message today, providence, hallelujah, providence is higher and is guarding you, protecting you, and guiding you, and making provision. It's a continuous act of God, and he will bring you to the desired end. Amen. Now, so for 2022, since the Lord said, the Spirit of the Lord said it is a defining year, and one of the parameters for us was that providence will guide us into God's chosen destiny for us this year. Be on the lookout. Hallelujah. Now, never mind whether the thing looks promising that is happening to you or not. You just love the Lord with all your heart. You love the Lord with all your heart. You follow the Lord and you do his will. And the rest is up to him. Amen. Now, there are some major milestones that will happen for you this year. But along the way, there are some little things and so on. But providence will guide you through them all. Amen. Isaiah 43 and verse 2 says, when you pass through, remember that word again, passing through. You're not going into situations. Now, that's Isaiah 43 and verse 2. When you pass through the waters, I, the Lord, will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. And when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Well, let me tell you something. There will be rivers that need to be crossed. There will be, you know, waters that will try to swallow you up. There will even be fires and so forth, but you will pass through. Hallelujah. So when you are passing through the fire, there will be some fiery things that may happen. Never mind that at all. Remember, they may be your destiny helpers. They may be your destiny helpers because, you know, God declares the end from the beginning, but he doesn't readily show you the path that you will take. Joseph didn't know that he will have to go through all those things before his brothers will bow down to him. You know, even though it was revealed to him that that will happen, brothers bowing down to him. But I tell you what, God didn't tell him all of that other stuff that he was going to have to go through. And God reserves that foreknowledge to himself. He may share some of it with you, and he may not. And it doesn't matter. One thing we know is this: I may not know the future, but I know he who holds the future. Hallelujah. I want you to stand to your feet this morning. By the grace of God, I will pick one here and here and here of those seven things that the Lord gave us for 2022. And let me just remind you what they are. Today I picked the one on providence. Number one was that the differentiation that God promised us at the beginning of 2020 continues. Even though the world, you know, I remember the vision of the calendars. There were two calendars. One had all kinds of black stuff all over the place. Another one had all kinds of jumping up things and light and, you know, things. You know, so the world is going to continue to have those problems. We tell you otherwise, it will not be true. But there will be light upon God's people. Amen. The next thing is that we are going to pass through 2022. Just like God brought us through 2020 and 2021, he's not going to dump us in the middle, and we're not going to die. Amen. And if the Lord tarries, see you on the other side. Hallelujah. Next is that we must enter into the prophetic realm for continuous guidance of the Lord. Now, that is a necessary place for us to be. Must hear from God continuously. Don't look for just one word for the whole year. No. You got to walk in the Spirit with God throughout the year. And when we do that, he says, providence will guide you and protect your destiny this year. Amen. That was number four. And number five said, but you must take the shot. And don't look at the clouds. Don't look at the winds. Take the shot. Opportunities that God will present to you this year, because also you must hear from God. When you are hearing from God, God will guide you and you take the shot. Amen. But if you don't take the shot, then you already missed the shot. Every shot you don't take is a shot that you already missed. And don't say, well, what if I don't make it? Rather say, well, what if I make it? Praise the Lord. You know, so don't think that you're not going to make the shot. Why not? You know, take the shot. God might just surprise you. Hallelujah. But while taking the shot, we were also reminded, don't take cheap shots. Take cheap shot. Don't try to cheap shot anybody. Don't ride over somebody else in order to get an opportunity. That's not God's way. Amen. And don't try to cut corners. David did not, you know, when he had an opportunity to kill Saul, he didn't do it. He didn't do it. You know, he let God work things out. Hallelujah. So, do things according to the spirit of righteousness. And this year, you must go forward. Hello? Quit looking back. You must go forward. Praise God. You know, you look back too much. Some people look back too much. They got their finger on that rewind button, always rewinding and so forth. Get that finger off that rewind button. Amen. Praise God. You can't change the past. So move forward already. Amen. Don't live in the past. And there are some people who have made mistakes in the past. And some religious folks will never let them live it down. They will put it over their head for the rest of their lives. What's that all about? Jesus said, go and sin no more. Amen. Go and sin no more. We don't want you to return to sin, but we are not going to hold that over your head forever. Religious people, we do that. But did you know that Jesus is the one that holds the scorecard? Amen. Jesus is the one that holds your scorecard. So this year, don't let anybody put you down. Amen. Amen. And don't let the devil put you down with any accusations either. Awake to righteousness. Hallelujah. And move on with the Lord. Finally, God has given us the secret this year. It's in Isaiah 22:22. The number 22 tied to the key of David. This is the summary of everything. God is setting before you an open door. But you must enter in. Hallelujah. You must go through that door. Don't stand there and say, this is a wonderful open door. No. Praise God. Take the shot. Let's lift our hands and praise the Lord here this morning. Providence will guide you. Providence will guide. There are parents here that are worrying too much over their children. Or maybe your grandchildren. Providence will guide them this year. In the name of Jesus Christ. You know. So put them in the hands of the Lord. You cannot by thinking make one hair white or black anyway. You know. So if you cannot do that which is least, why are you killing yourself over anything else? That's what Jesus said. Put it in the hands of the Lord. And let's see what the Lord is going to bring out. But remember, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. So that the excellency of it all may be of God and not of us. The thing that God is going to do for you this year is not going to do it because you are great. No. He's not going to do it because you are smart. No. He's not going to do it because you are wise. No. Praise God. He's going to do it because of the sure mercies of David. It is God that originated it, and he will bring it to pass. It is God that ordained it, and he will watch over you. Amen. And even in the ministry, the same thing. You know, whether it's personal, whether it's ministry this year, there is a tremendous open door. Hallelujah. Praise God. Lord, your people love you. Wave to him again this morning if you love him. Your people love you this morning. We love you, Lord. We love you. We love you. We thank you because you are so mindful of us. Praise team, you can come up to the stage. You are so mindful of us, oh Lord, this morning. You are so mindful of us this year. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now I'm going to pray as the praise team are coming. I'm going to pray that God will send you destiny helpers this year. In the name of Jesus. Lord, those destiny helpers, we call them forth. That they will come forth and play their role and help to move your people forward closer to their God-ordained destiny. In the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you. And we give you all the praise. Give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. And everybody says, amen. Let's put our hands together for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord.